Check it out now. No doubt now.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, right here at SiriusXM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling and Game Plus. It's Gil Alexander. Good morning to you. NFL guessing lines, week number 5 coming up today with Chris Andrews, who runs the South Point Sportsbook Hotel Casino. I already said sportsbook before that. I meant the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook. We'll do that. Nothing but a bevy of guests all weekend, all week long after that, right? Tuesday through Friday, it's just jam-packed. Monday, we like to just sort of cool out and talk about the NFL. We will briefly discuss baseball moving forward. Basketball last night, what a performance from Jimmy Butler. Epic performance. And then we got to bring up this tennis thing because I just hope a numbers game listeners in droves bet who we've been telling them to bet for the greater part of the 2020 calendar year, the French Open. You know who I'm talking about, loyal listeners. So I hope everybody is sitting on a ticket here on the cusp of something, hopefully on the cusp. A lot of work to be done, but looking good right now. We'll get into all that. But first, the National Football League yesterday, and let's bring him in. It's Chris Andrews, everybody. Good morning to you, Chrissy.
What's going on, Gil? Good morning.
Good morning to you. Well, here's the first thing I'd like to say. 21 of 26 teaser legs on sides hit. Only the Texans, Niners, Cowboys, Jets, and Cardinals did not. So I just want a commitment from you, Chrissy, that you won't change teaser prices for the rest of the year. Could you?
I don't think I will. Let's put it that way. Yeah, the teasers hurt us. So many games going over yesterday hurt us, you know. We still managed to eke out a very small profit, but it was a small profit on Sunday.
Okay. Well, for those who are just tuning into this show, this Monday show for the first time, Guessing Lines, this is a tribute to the old Stardust radio show from back in the day with Roxy Roxborough. I guess I've been a cocoon. I guess next week's lines. Legit, don't know what they are. Guessing them, and then Chrissy tells me what he will actually be posting here at the South Point Hotel Casino right after this show. And within that exercise, we hope to extract value. Now, last week, let me just say this. Last week was one of those rare weeks, and I was 3-2 in the contest. But the two that I missed were the ones that I had on guessing lines the greatest instinct for as being way off. That's usually not how this works. It's usually on guessing lines we have the best instinct. But man, the Dolphins and the Texans, we'll talk about those two games when we get there. Those did not work out as I thought they would. Let's start with Thursday, Chrissy.
Okay, Thursday, we got Tampa Bay at Chicago.
Tampa Bay at Chicago, which I guess is now a game between 2-3-1s. Tampa Bay, which was my survivor pick also, looked a little sketchy there for a little bit. But they come from behind.
Sure did, yeah.
Come from way behind, come from 17 points down to beat the Chargers, 38-31, 46th time Tom Brady has delivered a winning drive in the fourth quarter or OT, I don't know why I sounded like that right there, of a regular season game, has overcome a deficit of 10 or more points to win a league best 34 times, including postseason, 7th 5-touchdown performance of his career. He was 30-46 for 369, 5 touchdowns, 1 pick. That was a pick 6, by the way, that made it 14-7. It got to 24-7, as I said, a 17-point lead. And, Chris, the game swung because of Anthony Lynn. Now, imagine me with a survivor pick on the Bucks, and I'm down 17. All the Chargers have to do is run out the clock late in the first half. And at their own 5-yard line, they decide to run an option, and they run. And Joshua Kelly fumbles it. Touchdown, Bucks. And all of a sudden, it's like you could hear the Rocky music for my survivor pick. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. That was all it took. That was the way the game changed. Ndamukong Suh forcing a fumble inside the L.A. 10 with the Chargers attempting to run out the clock, I guess. Devin White recovers. 6-yard touchdown pass from Brady to Evans, who finished with 7 catches for 122. Evans even said, quote, "I was a bit surprised they didn't just take a knee. It was 24-7. They had a great first half. They made a mistake. We capitalized it, got on a touchdown, and had momentum going in the second half and ran with it." Pretty much dead on. Ronald Jones, 20 for 111, 484 total yards of offense for the Bucs, who were playing without Chris Godwin, Leonard Fournette. Then LeSean McCoy departed in the first half. O.J. Howard might have a serious Achilles injury. Who are they playing? You said the Bears? The Bears.
Yeah.
The Bears, that was another one where my instinct was completely wrong about on that, even though I didn't end up picking them. By the way, it's Gil.
Yeah, me too.
By the way, it's Gil Alexander, Chris Andrews, guessing lines right here on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM channel 204. I won't belabor the thing with the Bears. The Colts kept them out of the end zone until Allen Robinson caught a 16-yard pass with 135 remaining. Foles, 26 of 42 for 249, just one touchdown, one pick. He was sacked once. Robinson did end up with 7 for 101 and a touchdown. 28 total rushing yards. That's it for the Bears. And they were outgained 289 to 269 by the Colts, losing it 19 to 11. Not exactly an offensive showcase. Way under the total of 43. I'll say Tampa Bay by, after that Bears performance, Tampa Bay by 6 on the road.
It's mostly 5.5. I do see a 6. My power ratings without home field have Tampa Bay 6.5. So I guess, I'm going to try to do a little work this week and figure out what, if anything, these home fields are worth. So I think probably right now I'm going to start with the 5.5. But let me just say, like Nick Foles, I needed him when he won the Super Bowl with Philly. I mean, I think I needed him all throughout that stretch. So it's hard for me to knock a guy like that. But, the guy's just been like horribly inconsistent. And when usually when you say somebody's horribly inconsistent, it means that they're terrible. But he's had moments where he looks fantastic. But yesterday was definitely not one of them. And I think Foles is going to be one of those guys. I don't know what the future is going to be for Trubisky and his team or anything. But he's probably one of those guys you could bring in off the bench and maybe give your team a spark, something like that. But I don't think you could build a team around him. He's just not the quarterback that you would like in a situation like that. And, and I think we saw that yesterday. They scored late to make it like a kind of a phony number because they were really never in the game. And, I like to look at QBR a lot. And his QBR, where am I at? It was like 42.5. I don't know where they came up with that number because he did not do that much to help his team win. That's supposed to be what QBR is all about. So I don't know where they got that number because his stats were extremely mediocre, 5.9 yards per attempt. He threw an interception. He had that late touchdown. He's just not a quarterback you could build around. And Tampa Bay, by the way, I think they're getting better and better. I think they really are. Even though Brady had that pick six, which was obviously not very good, but he came through when they needed him. And that team's going to get better as the year goes on. But anyway, I'm going to open 5.5. If I see it going up a little bit, I probably will go up.
Are you advocating a switch back to Mitchell Trubisky, Chris? Is that what you just did right there?
I don't know. No, not really. No.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I'm advocating they start all over again. How's that?
Okay. All right.
I don't know what.
Dan, what was it? Bob Avellini, where are you when we need you? Whatever that guy's name was it Bob Avellini?
Yeah.
I will say this though.
He's one of them.
I will for all those of us who had Tampa Bay as a survivor pick yesterday. Literally down 17. When that fumble happened, when they decided to run the football, I don't think Tampa Bay had any timeouts at that point. They could just run out the clock. It was just literally like, Anthony Lynn, you can do this for us. You can do it. And in fact, he did it. It was just incredible. Badgley missed a field goal in the second half, a long field goal from 47. It just all fell into place. And Anthony Lynn has a little bit of the Dusty Baker, which is not only poor decision-making, suboptimal decision-making, but then also the players don't cooperate either. He gets unlucky at times, too, with the 47-yarder. Though that's a long field goal. Maybe you shouldn't be kicking it. All right, so pretty much dead on with that. Let's go to Sunday morning. Yeah, what's the Sunday morning-afternoon breakdown this coming week?
Geez, let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 early games. 3 late games.
Oh, man. And I think we have byes next week for the first time, too.
I have 4 late games.
I don't.
And 2 byes. Lions and Packers
4
late aren't byes.
Lions
Dolphins
and
49ers is late. Colts Browns is late. Giants Cowboys is late. Broncos Patriots is late, if my numbers are right.
All right. Let's go Sunday morning, Chrissy.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I see the Broncos game got moved. Yeah. Okay. Carolina at Atlanta.
Carolina. Teddy Bridgewater, 26 of 37 yesterday for 276 against the Cardinals. Two touchdowns, one pick, wasn't sacked. Also had an 18-yard touchdown run, which is his first rushing touchdown since before his devastating knee injury in the summer of 2016 when he tore his ACL and dislocated his kneecap with the Vikings in practice and had to be rushed to the hospital to prevent permanent nerve damage. Remember, there was a moment there where we thought he'd never play football again. And yesterday, rushing, scampering into the end zone. Good for him. Mike Davis, 16 for 84 and a touchdown. Robbie Anderson, 8 catches, 99 yards. The Panthers were 7 of 11 on third down, 1 for 1 on fourth. They outgained the Cardinals 444 to 262. They did have 10 penalties for 72 yards. Got to clean that up. We briefly don't always bring up time of possession because sometimes when it's involving teams like the Chiefs or the Packers, they score so quickly. It doesn't really matter. Doesn't really mean anything. But in a game like this, 37 minutes and 8 seconds for the Panthers, just 22:52 for the Cardinals. Boy, has their fortunes changed. We'll talk about them when we get to them. But the Panthers had scoring drives that lasted 13, 9, 10, 8, and 15 plays. 13, 9, 10, 8, and 15 plays, all the while keeping Kyler Murray and company off the field, scored touchdowns on their first four trips inside the Arizona 20-yard line. Good for the Panthers as they beat the Arizona Cardinals in that game. Of course, still without Christian McCaffrey, beat them by the final score of 31-21 as three-point dogs. And they are facing, as you said moments ago, they are facing the Atlanta Falcons, who, of course, have not played yet. Atlanta playing one of two games tonight. Two games that are, it's not a doubleheader. It's a little staggered. We'll get a half of football roughly on one, and then the second game will start up tonight. First game will be New England, Kansas City, the makeup game that was postponed because of Cam Newton's positive COVID test. That game will go at 7:05 Eastern, 4:05 Pacific tonight. Then at 8:50 Eastern, 5:50 Pacific, pushed back just a little bit, the previously scheduled Monday night game between Atlanta and Green Bay. So Atlanta playing in that game tonight, they have not played. So Carolina at Atlanta, sight unseen with the Falcons tonight. Look, Atlanta's losing games, right? They're 0-3, but clearly should have won two of them. They'll be favored here. And I'll say the Falcons are favored by 4 over Carolina, despite Carolina's win yesterday.
Hey, you're a little high, 3.5. My numbers come a little lower. I think this Carolina team's actually getting better. I got to tell you, Teddy Bridgewater, a kid that I really loved coming out of college, always rooted for. Yesterday was the best game he's played since the injury. I mean, by far. It was 26-37. QBR 93.6. I mean, he really played well. And if this kid's near what he was before the injury, then Carolina has themselves a pretty legitimate quarterback. Like I said, you said 4.5. I think you're a little high. My numbers come more like 3.
I said 4.
Sight unseen on the Falcons site. Oh, you said 4.
Yeah.
I kind of like the Falcons tonight, certainly getting the points. So I expect a good performance out of them. But I think you're a little to shade high. I'm going to have 3.5 to be, very wary of this with Atlanta playing tonight.
Yeah, Falcons catching 6.5 tonight at Green Bay. Game before that, Kansas City now up to a 10.5 point favorite against the Cam Newtonless New England Patriots, which seems like a good enough time to mention this. One of the interesting things about that to me that not enough is being made of is the, and this is unavoidable. Let me just preface it by saying I'm not blaming anyone for this. But with, and I've talked about this during the pandemic, during the summer, during, this run-up to the NFL season, the difference between what if you have COVID breakouts that are known early in a week, what if you then find out about them later in a week? And the implications, just let's think about that for this week. So the Patriots had one positive with Cam, and their game gets postponed only a day, and they must play a game without their starting quarterback. Whereas the Titans had a full outbreak earlier in the week, and they don't have to play a game without those players. Their game gets postponed weeks in the future. And so I'm not saying that this is an avoidable thing. I get it. You want the season to move on. But think about that. There's almost a there's almost a weird, quirky thing where it's like, if you're going to have a COVID positive, make sure it's an outbreak early in the week so you don't play at a competitive disadvantage. But if one of your key players and only one of them happens right before the weekend, you're kind of screwed. Not that anyone's going to cry a tear for the New England Patriots. But I think that's a little quirky thing that not enough people are seizing on. And it's not avoidable. I mean, I'm just saying it's a fascinating curveball with this NFL season that can't be anticipated, but just is. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there, Chrissy.
If I could throw in my two cents, I think the Tennessee, and I know they're playing the Steelers, people are going to say my judgment is tainted, but that should have been a forfeit. I mean, they had like what last I kind of like what 18 members of their team and staff. I mean, that's like a dereliction of duty. You know, they did not follow right. protocols, evidently. Have you know? So they're almost like rewarded, you know, for their performance. I think you know, I think they should have had the forfeit that game. I don't. They almost get a benefit from it. I don't like that at all. I think that the league, I think their protocols that were in place beforehand. I would hope that they had this kind of scenario mapped out just in case. But I think they should have been forced to forfeit that game.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they miss an additional one, if they're forced to have to, you know, let's say next week, they're not able to play. This, like I said last week, this isn't baseball. You can't play seven-inning doubleheaders to make this stuff up quickly. Yeah. Then I would really be curious, would they get a forfeit for that game? It's one thing to do it for one game, but what happens then? You're just going to play 12, 13 games for one team? You know, this whole thing, we're going to get into a baseball mode where you can't make them up as quickly as baseball? It's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting. Who do they play next week?
I think that was a wrong call for the NFL. They should have forfeited that game.
Tennessee plays the Bills.
It wasn't one player. It's like their whole staff.
Yeah. No, it's a full outbreak on the Titans. And which, by the way, just another brief aside. By the way, do you have an audio behind you, Chris, by any chance?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's turn that down if we could.
Pam's listening to honey.
Yeah.
Pamela, can you turn that down a little bit?
Pamela. the thing with just brought this up. Chris Collinsworth last night on the game. May I just say something? And I don't even care anymore if people get upset about this. His behavior on that broadcast last night, from the first moment of wearing his mask, was shameful. Seriously, just dude. STFU. Seriously, stop it. As soon as they got on, Al Michaels, it's Al Michaels along with Chris Collinsworth. Chris Collinsworth was like, I don't even know who I am anymore. Really, dude? Like, you had a Tennessee Titans team that just had their game postponed, a Patriots team that got their game postponed one day, and the president of the United States is hospitalized because of this. And you're doing this thing on TV where you're like trying to maintain some kind of street cred with God knows who. Stop it already. Like, have we? It's unbelievable. Anyway. Let's go to the Titans game. Is there a Titans game early?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I didn't listen to the broadcast. So
yeah. It's it's shameful.
Next up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree because I read about it today. Raiders at the Chiefs.
Raiders lose, and they do so, I guess, in the end, pretty significantly to Buffalo, 30-23. They were in it for a while, 17-16 through three, for goodness sake. So they were in it pretty good. But they do end up losing to the Bills. By the final score of 30-23, Bills cover as 3-point favorites. Derek Carr, 32 of 44 for 311, two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. By the way, Derek Carr surpasses Kenny Stabler, Daryl LaMonica, and any other Raider quarterback you can think of for the most career touchdown passes in franchise history with 151. I was shocked by that.
Wow.
Darren Waller back on the box score. After a week off where the Patriots took about 9 catches, 88 yards. The Raiders were 8 of 14 on third downs, but they were minus 2 in turnovers. And that's probably why they lost the game, really. The Raiders now 2-2. They'll be taking on Kansas City. Kansas City, again, playing the Patriots tonight. But I'll say, sight unseen with the Chiefs, are going to be more than 10-point favorites. I'll just say 10.5.
Yeah, my number's coming to 10, but I got to tell you, Yeah, the Raiders ran into a buzzsaw, and I will talk about the Bills a little bit later, but I didn't think the Raiders played that bad. I thought they played pretty good. Even, you know, Derek Carr, I think this number, oh, by the way, the number that I see right now is like 12, even at 12.5. I think that's too high. I think the Raiders would be a very live dog here. You know, Chiefs coming off a short week and a weird week. I kind of like the Raiders getting the points. I think that number is just a little bit high. I'm going to open 12. Like I said, I think 12 and 12 and a half. I'm going to open 12, you know, with the Chiefs, having a game pending tonight. But my first inclination is I like the Raiders. I didn't think they looked that bad playing a very, very, very good team.
All right. So off on these, but not by much. A tick and a half, and a tick and a half when it's high and kind of in no man's land. We'll continue with week five now we're going for? Yeah, week five next week in the National Football League. Guessing lines with Chris Andrews here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. I have a Heisman kid, but he's not in any of the when I look at Heisman markets, like at DK and stuff like that, like at DraftKings, he's not in any of them. I'm curious if I could walk up to somebody and see if they'll put him on the Heisman thing for us. I don't want to say it yet until I bet it. But from the man who gave you Iga Swiatek. No, we're a long way from winning still. All right, let's continue. Guessing lines, week number five here in the National Football League. Chris Andrews, star of show, author of Then One Day, by the way, where all books are sold. How about Amazon? Just point you to Amazon for Then One Day. Stories from 40 years in the bookmaking industry. Now, you got a correct count there, Chris? Is it nearly 40 years now?
Well, it's more than 40 years now. It's 41 years.
41. Now. My goodness.
Yeah.
All right. I won't ask if there's a you're still thinking of doing another one, because I know you said you're concocting something, but you're not ready to reveal yet.
No, I'm ready. Yeah, I'm not ready to talk about it. Anthony Curtis has seen my work so far. Dee Castleman is his editor, and so far they love it. You know, but I'm not done with it. I'm about halfway. They've seen it. So
okay, all right. What's next on Sunday morning?
Okay, well, unfortunately, we have a couple games with, no lines whatsoever, and this is one of them right here. We have the Broncos at the Patriots, a game that was moved to 125 next week. But there, I don't see any line whatsoever. And, obviously, we're waiting to see what happens with the Patriots with Cam Newton. I read something that he's showing no signs at all of the COVID, but we know that, some guys are asymptomatic and still have at least have the virus active inside of them. And he looks like it's one of those. So I think right now, and I don't know how that works, as far as playing or not playing, I really don't know. And evidently neither does anybody else, because I don't see any line whatsoever on this game.
And because we don't know, not only have the Patriots not played yet, they play tonight again, but we don't know who the quarterback's going to be. And you're right, Cam's not experiencing any symptoms. It's like Donovan Mitchell said, I didn't cough even once when I tested positive. Jason, share with everybody what you said off air when you found out that Cam was out. You have a specific ticket that you got excited about?
I thought for a moment that my Jared Stidham MVP ticket was back in play.
He's not even starting. Hoyer is starting tonight. Is that right, Jason? Denver at New England. I mean, I would just take a stab at it. Brett Rippon. Let's just talk about Brett Rippon for a second. Denver will be on extra rest. Let's point that out. Brett Rippon, in his debut, 5 days after being called up from the taxi squad, the nephew of the great Super Bowl 26 MVP, Mark Rippon, the greatest team of all time, the 1991 Washington Redskins. Rippon was 19 of 31 for 242, two touchdowns, three picks. Two were horrific in the fourth quarter. He finally showed his rookie self then. But he sort of bounced back and comported himself well. Melvin Gordon, 23 for 107 against the Jets for two touchdowns, 43-yard touchdown run with 148 remaining, killed all Jets teasers. And Tim Patrick was Rippon's biggest target, 6 for 113 and touchdown. And it got ugly at the end of that game. Fangio directing some of his players to head into the locker room as the game ended, and the coach didn't meet with Gase for the customary post-game handshake because the Jets were being unsportsmanlike at the end. I don't know. New England's going to be somewhere between 10 and 14. I'll say New England will probably be 13, but as you said, you have no, that's just with sight unseen and assuming Cam is back, but that's an assumption, so who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, with Cam back, I only have it about 10. So I think you're a shade high. You know, I don't know. Well, how does that affect the guy? You know, his conditioning and all that other stuff. And, you know, obviously besides passing, you know, running is a big part of Cam's game and a big part of his arsenal, which makes him so effective. So I don't know how that's going to affect him. I think you're a little high with that number. By the way, that's a Greg Williams thing, you know, that did all that stuff with the Jets. So.
What was it, Stephen Smith Sr. going off on him on the NFL Network? If it looks like a pig, it smells like a pig, oinks like a pig, you finish the rest. We'll come back. More Guessing Lines with Chris Andrews right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It is Guessing Lines on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. What is next, Chrissy?
We got the Rams at your Washington football team.
Oh, once again. The Washington football team going to be a double. I'll guess they're a double digit dog here. Yesterday, the Rams. By the way, those of us who had the Bucks in a survivor pick were scared. The Rams survivor pick, folks, and those were about 2/3 of the remaining survivor picks at Circa were Rams picks. Whoo! They just got by the Giants. Jared Goff, 25 of 32 for just 200 yards, one touchdown, no pick. He was sacked twice. 55 of those 200 yards was on one pass, which was really the ostensibly the game clincher. Cooper Kupp on the receiving end of that. Nice run after catch from Cooper Kupp. He was 5 for 69 for that touchdown. Again, 55 on that one pass. With 6:56 remaining, the Rams grinded out a 17-9 victory over the Giants before a wild fight between Jalen Ramsey and Golden Tate, who have this off-the-field beef, I guess. Where Jalen Ramsey is the father of Golden Tate's sister's kids, and I don't know what that was all about. But Darius Williams clinched the game for the Rams. Remember, Darius Williams was the guy who got flagged against the Bills, probably wrongly, quite frankly. Controversial. Darius Williams making a diving controversial last week, but Williams makes a diving pick at the LA 7 with 52 seconds to play. As the Giants were trying to get the touchdown at a two-point conversion to force overtime, or at least tie it up late, the Rams manages 240 total yards. The Giants outgained them at 295. And the Rams went nearly 45 minutes between its two touchdowns, but that proved to be enough. They improved to 28-0, do the Rams, when leading at halftime under Sean McVay. 28-0. And now they will make their third cross-country trip in 4 weeks. This time, again, as you said, to face the Washington football team. As far as the Washington football team, they got beat by the Ravens. Lamar Jackson running for a 50-yard touchdown, threw for two scores. Bounce-back performance by the Ravens, who took control early against the Washington football team. 31-17 win. Forced fumble, fake punt. And that, the longest run of Jackson's career to build a 21-0. I guess the longest touchdown run of his career to build a 21-10 halftime lead. Washington had more first downs, owned an edge in time of possession, and had only 7 fewer yards than Baltimore. Didn't matter. Dwayne Haskins, 32 of 45 for 314. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 3 times. And Terry McLaurin is singularly the Washington football team's one offensive weapon. 10 catches for 118. By the way, Ron Rivera occasionally taking a break during the game by sitting on the bench. Quote, I took 2 bags of IV fluids before the game. I would sit down at TV timeouts. Again, that's his therapy for his cancer diagnosis. So that's always a sidebar to any Washington football team game. RG3 was inserted in this game by Baltimore, which was a nice little nod to RG3's 2012 Rookie of the Year season as a member of Washington. He proceeded to throw a pick, and Washington then ended up scoring a touchdown. So if people got a bad number on Baltimore, if they got Baltimore minus 14, that pick turned a win into a push, or at least helped it turn it into a push. But I'll say, I mean, if Baltimore was a 14 or 13.5 point favorite, I mean, I'll say the Rams are 10.5 here at Washington. Chrissy?
My numbers come a little lower, 9.5. Once again, and if you're playing a drinking game at home, diminishing returns was one of the notes I had when I was looking at the Baltimore game against Washington. But my numbers come to 9.5. I think that's a good number. I see the number anywhere from, 8.5 for a low, 9 with some juice on the favorite as a high. I might get convinced by the end of the show to open at 9, but right now I'm leaning towards 9.5.
Yeah, I don't know. Washington football team, 1-3-1, along with the Cowboys. Just a half game out in the NFC East, but they're not good.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not good.
Yeah, no, they're terrible.
Yeah. And by the way,
but it's hard to go on the road and win by double digits. It just is in the NFL. It just, you know, especially going cross country. And, you know, Baltimore had, you know, what, a bus trip into Washington. And you know, won by 14. You know, they could have easily won by a lot more, I guess. But they just kind of, you know, held Washington at bay, and that was really about it. And, by the way, while we're talking about it, I did have the Rams in my survivor pool, sweating pretty good.
Yeah, that was a sweat. Oh, a few of them that were sweats yesterday. All right, let's sneak in one more here before the break.
Jacksonville at Houston.
Jacksonville at Houston. Boy, there's a game. Oh, man. Mm. 1-3 Jacksonville against 0-4 Houston. Gardner Minshew yesterday, 27 of 40 for 351. 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked 3 times. Chark, 8 for 95, 2 touchdowns. Interestingly, both the Lions and the Jags yesterday went for 2 after cutting 14-point leads to 8 points. Did you notice that? Jaguars end up losing to Cincinnati, 33-25. More and more teams adopting the analytics of that. The Raiders did not, by the way. Raiders went ahead and kicked an extra point to go down 7. In their specific or their similar circumstance. But Jacksonville loses to Cincinnati. Joe Burrow gets his first win. Deshaun Watson of Houston. Boy, did I get this wrong. Minnesota ends up missing a day of practice last week, but they did have a squirrely week trying to figure out when they were practicing, when they were not. Houston still can't beat Minnesota. They lose, and they lose with Deshaun Watson going 20 of 33 for 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picked. He was sacked 3 times. Fuller was his major target, 6 for 108 and a touchdown. They were out time of possession, if you will, by Minnesota, 36-31 to 23 minutes and 29 seconds. They just got dominated. Battle between winless teams, held off a late rally by Texans. Minnesota did, beating Houston 31-23. Texas cut the lead to 8. Deshaun to Stills on a 24-yard touchdown pass on 4th and 10 with 5:52 remaining. But then Houston's defense got a stop. And then it appeared like Will Fuller made an acrobatic one-handed catch on 4th down for what was initially ruled a touchdown with 1:12 left. But after review, it was determined that the ball hit the ground before Fuller gained control. Houston's NFL worst run defense continued to struggle, giving up 162 yards. They're not very good, but they're going to be 5.5-point favorites, I'll say, against Jacksonville. How about that?
Well, I tell you what, my numbers come to 5, but they're actually a little higher. They're like 6, even 6.5. And I think if you look at the situation, this is where, you know, Power Rangers give you a start. But it's 6.5. I actually like the 6.5. I think the situation is strong in favor of Houston. So I'm going to open a higher number here at 6.5.
God, these have not been difficult to guess. I know I haven't hit any right on the mark, but they're right next to them. These have not been that difficult to guess, and that's not good for the exercise. We'll see if we can't find something here. After the break, guessing lines, week 5, on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the tweets. Money Mike, hey Gil, any tennis or baseball picks you like today? Tennis is already kind of over for the day, and I, to be honest with you, I haven't looked at tomorrow's. But we will have Dan Weston on tomorrow on the show to talk tennis, the quarterfinals of the French Open. Boy, oh boy, do I hope people. How many times of the last year do you think, Jason, that I have said, bet Iga Swiatek to win the French Open?
At least 10, 12 times.
And the first was way back in like January, February.
Yeah, I bet it in February.
Tell people what happened to your Iga Swiatek future.
I bet it. I used it as a part of my video to get this job, part of that application. And then 5 dimes nixed it about a month ago. And I had a hard time finding the ability to replay a place to replace it.
10 nickels. T. Rowe, Jag fan. Gil, I was betting what you were betting, Houston Texans. That was the team that smart people were betting this weekend. Hashtag not this time. Not this time is right. And Sean Sipe, yes, thank you. You didn't hear it from way over here on the East Coast when you mentioned it on air, but I loudly said, yes, thank you, Gil. These are clowns. Joker, Pennywise, Ronald McDonald, and then there's Chris Collinsworth. Seriously. Can't stand someone like him who's like, oh, I got to maintain my street cred and act like this is such a pain. Dude, have you not figured it out yet? Oh, and then for those who missed it last night, what an epic NBA Finals Game 3 it was. If you missed it, our resident UPI or AP, Associated Press on Twitter, Irvin Magic Johnson, is here to tell you Miami Heat superstar Jimmy Butler led his team to victory with the triple-double masterpiece, scoring 40 points with 13 assists and 11 boards last night. And the Heat beat the Lakers. Jason, do you think we have a series?
I don't, actually. I think AD needs to not get into foul trouble.
Yeah, he had four fouls, like
two super quick.
15 minutes in, he had four.
It was brutal.
15 minutes of his game time.
But Magic really makes you feel like you're watching or reading the box score. It's really fantastic.
That he do. All right, Chris. Chris Andrews, everybody, back on the show. Sorry about that interruption, Chris.
Guessing. Nathan, they didn't void your Jared Stidham MVP ticket, did they?
Jason, they void it yet?
It's not voided.
He's still open.
Well, at least you're still alive. Okay. Yeah. You never know.
Hoyer might get COVID today, and I could still be in business.
Please don't root for that.
I'm rooting for it.
Oh, man. Okay. Let's do another one. Sunday morning, week 5.
All right, next, another game with no numbers that I see whatsoever. Bills at the Titans.
Bills at the Titans, no numbers whatsoever, because the Titans obviously postponed their game against Pittsburgh, postponed to week 7. No one really knows if this game will be played. And what Christy and I were talking about earlier is if they can't play this one, is a forfeit in place? Buffalo and Tennessee, it would be a matchup of undefeateds, by the way. It would be a 4-0 Bills team against a 3-0 Titans team. Josh Allen yesterday against the Raiders, 24 of 34 for 288, two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once, gained a touchdown on the ground. The first half of the game, he was 15 of 20 with two touchdowns. He didn't get hurt, came right back. Stephon Diggs is number one target yesterday, 6 catches for 115. Bills were 7 of 13 on third down, 1 of 1 on fourth down. And they've opened consecutive seasons now with 4-0 records, just the third time in team history and the first since the 91 and 92 seasons when the Bills lost the Super Bowl both years. And after seeing Vegas cut the lead to 17-16 midway through the third quarter, Buffalo's D came to life. They stopped the Raiders 4 consecutive times. Vegas gave the ball back to the Bills by way of punt, fumble, downs, and another fumble before scoring on its final possession. And then there's Tennessee, who didn't play, and they're dealing with COVID. This will be an interesting one to guess. I mean, I guess I would say Tennessee, but not by a field goal. I'd split the difference between a pick'em and a field goal. I would say Tennessee as a placeholder minus 1.5, but who knows?
Yeah, I kind of got the other side one. Like I said, I'm really impressed with this Buffalo team. And I said it before when we were talking about the Raiders. I think they ran into a buzzsaw. I mean, this team's really playing well, a ton of confidence. But I know you can't play momentum forever in the NFL. I mean, if you do, you're going to get killed eventually. Tennessee is still very good, but how did this all affect them? You know, I don't know. I have no idea. But I think I would have the Bills a very, very slight favorite, 1, maybe 1.5, something like that. But, you know, it's a moot point right now because there's no number whatsoever, and we have to see what's going on with this Tennessee team during the course of this week.
Yep, we sure do. And it'll be uncharted waters because we'll see what the NFL, how the NFL handles this. Can't handle it like baseball did. You can't play 3-quarter doubleheaders. So we'll see. What's next?
Arizona at the New York Jets.
How about the Cardinals going from 2-0 to 2-2? And like after two games, it's like, wow, this team is headed to the postseason. I guess not. Not so fast anyway. Kyler Murray, after throwing 3 picks last week, was just 24 of 31 against Carolina for 133. Three touchdown passes, no picks, was sacked once. He also, of course, on the ground does things. 6 for 78. He did lose a fumble. Not a good day for the first time for DeAndre Hopkins, 7 for 41 yards. Remember, he didn't practice all week due to a foot injury, so he only gained 41 yards. The Cardinals ran just 55 plays against the Panthers. Talked about the time of possession discrepancy and those long Panthers drives. They just ran 55 plays to the Cardinals. Then there's the Jets. Extra rest. That's where the good news stops. They get beat by the Broncos, and as I said, couldn't even manage to cover the tees. They're 0-4. Darnold, 23 of 42 last Thursday for 230. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 6 times. Bradley Chubb got him 2.5 of those 6 times. He did run 6 times for 84 yards and a touchdown. That touchdown run was great. Jamison Crowder was his number one target, 7 for 104. But the Broncos were -3 in turnovers and still beat the Jets. Yeah, I mean, that's just terrible. Jets were 8 of 19.
That's hard to do.
That's hard to do. It really is. Jets were 8 of 19 on third downs. What that tells me is you have 19 third down conversion attempts, meaning you're not doing enough on first and second down to have 19 attempts. They had 11 penalties for 118 yards. That was the story of that game against the Broncos. That included 6 personal fouls, also including on 3rd and 6, and the Jets leading by 1 in the fourth quarter, Quinnen Williams sacking Brett Rippon, but grabbing his helmet, prolonging the drive. 7 plays later, Brandon McManus kicking a 53-yard field goal to give Broncos a 30-28 lead with 3:08 remaining that they would never relinquish. That Melvin Gordon touchdown came later. That, by the way, after Pierre Desir had a pick 6 off Brett Rippon that got the Jets back in the game, and Brian Poole intercepting Rippon, subsequently making his first NFL start on the Broncos' next possession, giving the Jets the ball at Denver's 44. That led to Sam Ficken's 5th field goal, a 36-yarder that put New York ahead 28-27 with 6:28 remaining. But that was, remember, the key decision where Adam Gase decided, yeah, we'll just kick a field goal here. This should do. Nope. Didn't do it all.
And he still got a job.
Well, the Michael Lombardi theory is, if you're tanking for Trevor, might as well keep Gase around. That's his theory. So I don't know.
Who needs the locker room?
I'll say Arizona -7 at the Jets. I mean, as bad as Arizona has looked, I mean, they're still going to be touchdown favorites at the Jets, won't they?
I'd say a little bit of 7, mostly 6.5. You know, my numbers, well, without a home field advantage, comes to Arizona 8.5. I guess I got to give them a little something, you know, with Arizona making the cross-country trip and all that. I would lean towards your number, but I'm debating whether to open 6.5 or 7. But right now I'm leaning towards 7. But, you know, this team is so poorly coached offensively and defensively, and it's been a Greg Williams trademark since he's been in the league. You know, defensively, they play really filthy, dirty. Now, there's good defense and strong defense, tough defense. Then there's dirty defense. And that's, you know, and let's just say it's not always that good either. I know guys have the illusion that it's great to play that way. It goes back to the Jerry Glanville days when he was with, you know, whoever he was with. But this team, they're dirty and they're poorly coached, both. And, you know, I'm not crazy about the Cardinals coach, had my questions about Murray coming into this league. So I'm not the biggest Cardinal fan, but I still think they need to be, well, 6.5 or 7. And I think that's a legit number, but I think I'm going to open 7 right now is what I'm leaning towards.
Here's what's noteworthy about this edition of Guessing Line so far. These lines have been really easy to guess. And this is the first week where I haven't, by this point in the show, I mean, we're an hour in. It's the first time I think we've been an hour in where I've been like, yeah, I don't really, nothing sticks out. And by the way, a lot of big lines, too, thus far.
Yeah.
7-6.
Right now, the only lean I would have is towards the Raiders.
You're high on the Raiders, generally speaking.
And, you know, like I said, they ran into a buzzsaw. They played a really, really good team. And you know, what they cut it to, 17, 16, something like that? You know, they were in that game till the end. I think they can hang in there with the Chiefs getting double digits. So I do.
All right. We'll do more of these. I think we have 2 byes, you said, Detroit and Green Bay next week. So we have 8 games more to get to, a few more in the morning. The afternoon games, of course, the primetime games. What will be played? What will not be played? Will the Titans be able to field a football team? Or what will the NFL tell them to do? You must field the team and play with whatever you got or forfeit. Who knows? And I will have baseball picks for the series that begin today, coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander. Chrissy Andrews is here. Jason Kahn. I have bet the following series prices in the division round, Jason. Mark them. Chalk them up. I bet the Miami Marlins at plus 250 against the Atlanta Braves. Just a number play. That number is way too high. Marlins plus 250 versus the Braves. Stayed off the other National League Division Series between the Padres and the Dodgers. Astros at the Athletics. You see there, courtesy of BetMGM on the screen, Astros are plus 110, Athletics minus 130, stayed off that. Yankees minus 140, Rays plus 120. I played the Rays at plus 120. So the Rays and the Marlins are my two division series prices. Game ones today, by the way, in the American League, Houston-Oakland is a 4:07 Eastern, 1:07 Pacific start. That game is in Los Angeles. McCullers against Bassett. I'm steering clear of that game. And then the nightcap, 8:07 Eastern, 5:07 Pacific, Yankees and the Rays. Cole against Snell. That one in San Diego. As baseball transforms now into a bubble sport. Good for baseball for doing that. By the way, tomorrow, all four games in action. Two American League game twos in the best of five division series. Both game ones in the National League. Cole Snell, I am going to play the Rays tonight. The Rays at plus 135. In fact, I'm going to bet that right now. Bet the series already, but I'm going to bet the game price right now on that. So the Rays are my one baseball pick of the day. Looking forward to that. How great is this? Two football games tonight, two baseball games today. Then tomorrow, four baseball games and the NBA Finals. And it's four baseball games pretty much all week. Baseball got this right with the scheduling. Get everybody in a bubble, take the weekend off, then blast baseball once again all week long. It's fabulous. As great as August was, September was better, October even better. All right, so Tampa Bay is the play today, game one in the series. Tampa Bay and Miami, as they used to say in some parts. All right, let's go back to guessing lines. Week number five, my mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews. You still there, Chrissy?
I am here. Yes, sir.
All right. We're still in the early games, I believe. What's next?
Yeah. Yeah, this is an early game. Eagles at the Steelers.
Eagles at the Steelers. Battle of Pennsylvania. The Philadelphia Eagles. By the way, Pittsburgh, of course, postponed because they were the Titans' opponent. That Titans-Steelers game postponed to week seven. So Pittsburgh on extra rest. They got a week off when they play this game. They're 3-0. Philly travels to Pittsburgh. Philly beats the Niners last night. Travis Fulgham caught a go-ahead 42-yard touchdown pass from Carson Wentz with 5:50 remaining. Alex Singleton returned a pick for a score to lift the Eagles to a 25-20 win over the Niners last night. Singleton had played only 11 defensive snaps coming into the game. And the Eagles now at 1-2-1 lead the NFC East. It's amazing. They were missing their top three receivers and their number two tight end, Dallas Goedert, last night. Wentz went 18 of 28 for 193, one touchdown, one pick, three sacks. He came into the week with the lowest passer rating and most turnovers in the NFL. They outgained the Niners, who, of course, didn't have Jimmy G. Nick Bosa and Solomon Thomas out for the year. They outgained the Niners 418 to 267. They were plus two in turnovers. And as I said, that's first place in the NFC East at 1-2-1. But let me just say this about the game last night. And it just file it under the category of, and we do this every week, what are these coaches doing? Like, where are their heads in key moments of these games? So the Niners cut it to 25-20 with 2 minutes and 2 seconds left in the game. And they're even saying on the broadcast, Michaels and Collinsworth, for all the shameful behavior they exhibited last night, and really destroyed, I believe, their reputation in many ways last night. They did get this part right with, like, hey, if the Niners kick this out of the end zone, there'll still be 2:02 left on the clock, and the Niners, with two timeouts in their pockets, will still have their two timeouts and the two-minute warning to try to stop the Eagles on three downs and get the ball back. By the way, it's Gil Alexander, Chris Andrews, guessing lines right here in a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. A nod, a tribute to the old Stardust guessing line show from days gone by. So the Niners don't kick it out of the end zone. They instead try this, I don't know, half-baked onside kick. It wasn't even an onside kick. I don't know what they were trying to do, but the ball never really spun or did anything. and it goes right to the Eagles. And the Niners, despite doing the wrong thing, it goes right into the Eagles' special teams player's pocket. So only 1 second goes off the clock. So they got away with it. So there's 2:01 left now. The Eagles now know that the Niners have two timeouts with the two-minute warning. At 2:01, they know that that play right there is a free play. You can do whatever you want because the two-minute warning is about to happen. So instead of the Eagles trying to throw the ball downfield, get a first down, which would ostensibly end the game because then the Niners would only have two timeouts and the Eagles could bleed it down to almost nothing after a third down play, what do the Eagles do? They decide to run the ball. It's just like, what are you doing? I'm screaming. I'm like, oh, that'll give the Niners life. And it did. Because the clock was going to stop regardless. You try for the first down. If you get it, you basically win. Coaches mess up the most basic stuff in this league. It's incredible. And these are supposed to be good coaches, right? Kyle Shanahan and Doug Peterson. But I guess not, man. Everybody needs help at the ends of these games. Anyway, Eagles win it 25-20. Rant done. I'll say Pittsburgh -7. Week off.
You're a little late. My power ratings come to 7 with no home field advantage. I see it 7.5. I definitely like that better. Matter of fact, I probably even like 8 a little better. But, you know, getting back to the Steelers, we haven't seen them in 2 weeks. But, you know, their defense has not played as well as it did last year. And that's a concern of mine. You know, everybody expected, you know, Ben's back, all problems solved because the defense will be just as dominant as it has been. But they have not been. They certainly have not been. And, again, the numbers, you could cover those numbers without really being in the game when you're in the NFL. Nonetheless, like I said, my numbers do come to 7 with no home field advantage. If there's any home field advantage at all, I think it should trend a little bit higher. But I am going to open 7.5. But I'd be a little wary here. Like I said, the Eagles may have found some life in them, and at least a way to keep the game close. But I'm going to go with 7.5. But I have some mixed emotions on this game.
I understand that coming from a Steelers guy too, and Chrissy Andrews, Pittsburgh native. Yeah, the Eagles still aren't good, but I hear what you're saying. They could keep it close. 1-2-1. Leading both the Cowboys and the Washington football team by half game with the Giants.
Coasting.
Yeah, Giants at 0-4, still very much alive in the NFC East playoff picture. All right, what's next?
Bengals at the Ravens.
God, these games are terrible. Is it me or is all these games are bad? Cincinnati at the Ravens. And the lines are going to be big for so many of these. Bengals beat Jacksonville, though. Congratulations to Joe Burrow and the Bengals. They beat him 33-25 for their first win of the season. Joe Burrow's first wins after he was hit 18 times and sacked 8 times last week in their tie against the Eagles. Remember that one? Burrow, 25-36 yesterday for 300. 1 touchdown, 1 pick. He was sacked once. Joe Mixon filling up the stat sheet. 25 for 151 and 2 touchdowns on the ground. 6 for 30 and a touchdown through the air. They outgained Jacksonville 505-429, still gave up a whole bunch of yards. And then as we talked about, Baltimore, Lamar Jackson, 14 for 21, 193, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, sack once. Also on the ground, though, the Ravens' leading rusher, 7 for 53 and a touchdown. And as I mentioned, RG3, 0 for 1 and a pick, which ended up killing people who got the Ravens at a bad number. If you got it at 14, it turned a win ultimately into a push because then the Washington football team matriculated down the field and got the backdoor push for those people who got the bad number on the Ravens. Boy. Not 10, not 14. Baltimore -12.
It's 13.5. I definitely like your number better. I'm going to open 13. I've been saying since the beginning of the year, I'm looking to bet the Bengals as a big dog. I do like Burrow. And I said, this team has some hidden talent on it. They've been poorly coached. And I'm not sure if they're still poorly coached or not. They might be. But I am looking to bet them as a dog. I was surprised yesterday. I wound up being on Jacksonville in my contest. But, you know, that was definitely the wrong side. But I did think Joe Mixon, wasn't he supposed to be out or hurt?
He looked like he might be out.
He tore it up.
Yep.
Yeah. He tore it up, man. That was, I mean, that was really big. And they're kind of showing the film clip I saw this morning on his touchdown reception. You could see Burrow tells him something before the play, and the guy who was doing the analysis said, it looks like Mixon was supposed to read the linebacker and then release. And Burrow just told him, just release, don't wait. And Burrow hit him right in stride, and he went in for the touchdown. So I think Burrow is a good quarterback and a very smart quarterback. Maybe able to overcome some of the coaching, but I have no confidence in that at this time. But I think the Bengals are very much a live dog in situations like this. You're talking about getting 13.5. I'm going to open 13. Look to take a little bet on the Ravens, which I'll probably get. But I like the Bengals here in this spot. I think that's a little too many points.
And you always say your opinion or the line you put up is good for one bet. Your opinion is good.
One bet.
Yeah.
One bet.
One bet. All right. Are we at the afternoon games?
We are, and here's another one with no, I shouldn't say that. I see a couple numbers, but not, I'm not going to put it up, and I only see a few out there. Miami at the 49ers.
Miami at the 49ers. 49ers are expecting, or they're hoping, I shouldn't say expecting, hoping to get starter Jimmy Garoppolo back next week from an ankle injury that had sidelined him for two games. Yesterday, against the Eagles last night, it was Nick Mullins for most of the game, 18 of 26 for 200. That doesn't appear to be that bad in the box score. But one touchdown, two picks, four sacks. The two picks, in addition to getting a strip sack, so three turnovers entirely, and the Eagles got 14 points off those turnovers, one of those two picks being a dreadful, and I mean ugly, pick six late that put the Eagles up two scores. That's why the Niners had to scramble late. C.J. Beathard came in right after that dreadful pick six. He ends up going, C.J. Beathard, 14 of 19 for 138 in his brief two drives. No picks, no touchdowns. He was sacked once. Hail Mary at the end was tipped up in the air, and it looked like, if you're watching the TV, you looked like, oh my God, is that going to land in the chest of somebody on the ground? No, it's out of bounds. George Kittle, by the way, 15 catches for 183 and a touchdown. How good is that guy? Who are they playing? Miami, you said? Miami at San Francisco? Miami was was like Houston was the bad call for me this past week. Miami could not cover against Seattle. What was that?
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
That was my computer.
It was like you're playing a laugh track when I said that. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 29 for 45, 315. No touchdowns, picked twice, one sack. Did carry six for 47 in a touchdown, because he always does, it seems. Make hay on the ground as well. Devontae Parker was his biggest target, 10 for 110. The Dolphins were 7 of 13 on third downs, but they were outgained 441 to 415 by Seattle in total yards. And that's kind of what Seattle does each and every week. Their defense is a sieve, but Russell Wilson is going to pull it out. And Seattle is still undefeated, and Miami loses 31 to 23. They do cover the teaser, the back door, but they do not cover the spread as 4.5-point closing dogs in that one. So Miami at San Francisco, you said there's only, you said there's only a couple, because we don't know who's playing quarterback, I guess, for the Niners.
Right.
And it's a choice of three guys. So I don't know. I'd put San Francisco -7 as a placeholder, but I don't know what you got there.
Yeah, the two places that have it up, 8 and 8.5, I don't even know if they're taking bets, to be honest with you, because they haven't moved it since last night. So they just may have put that up as a placeholder and not actually taking any action. I'm not going to use the game. By the way, when you heard that crazy sound, it's because when I was trying to look up Nick Mullins on the on ESPN for his QBR, because if you look at the raw stats, they don't sound that bad. His QBR was like 13.0. And I noticed that over the years, like sometimes his numbers aren't bad, but they don't win a lot of games with him. And his QBR is terrible, so there's something in those numbers that reflects that he's not helping his team that much. And, like I said, you see him play and say, well, he's okay, but he's really not. So they really need, Garoppolo makes a huge difference for this team. And I'm not going to put it up until I find out a little bit more about him. And looks like most people are with me. They do not want anything to do with this game until we get more conclusive news about Garoppolo.
All right, let's do one more in the afternoon.
Okay. Still in the hunt, New York Giants against the still way in the hunt, Dallas Cowboys.
0-4 Giants, 1-3 Cowboys. Daniel Jones yesterday against the Rams, 23 of 36 for 190. No touchdowns, picked once, took 5 sacks. The Giants haven't scored a touchdown in their last 2 games. They trailed, though, only 10-6 at halftime, despite gaining 67 total yards in the first half. They were still in this game. Giants defense comported themselves very well. Giants defense did great against the Rams. But Daniel Jones, and they pointed this out on the broadcast, he stares down his receivers like nobody's business.
Yeah.
He's like, there's my guy. I'm about to throw it to him. Just want to let you know, defense, here it comes. So they're kind of ready for it. He does not look off, guys. And what did Tom Brady famously say? He goes, the only person I don't look at is the receiver I'm about to throw it to. So they pointed that out about Daniel Jones. Now, he did have some elusiveness. He did get out of some jams. I mean, his offensive line was not doing him any favors against Aaron Donald and company. There was that one play late where it looked like he was just completely going to get mauled, and he wiggled his way out of it to keep a drive alive. So it's not like there's all negatives. But, you know, as many people say about Daniel Jones, he might not be good. We don't know yet. And then there's Dallas. Wow, we haven't even talked about Dallas and Cleveland yesterday, which was the wildest of all games yesterday, with Cleveland ultimately beating the Cowboys 49-38 and doing so as 3-point dogs. The Cowboys fall to 1-3. We'll get to Cleveland in a bit. Dak Prescott, 41 of 58 for 502, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick, sacked 3 times. First 500-yard game of his career, and he becomes the first NFL player to throw for at least 450 yards in 3 consecutive games. And all I have to say to that is, so what? Because they're down so far in all of these games that it's just it's a Dak throwing fest. Amari, 12 for 134 and a touchdown. CeeDee Lamb, 5 for 79 and 2 touchdowns. But here's the deal. Dallas was -3 in turnovers. And unless you're the New York Jets and you have the benefit of 3 turnovers, chances are, like Cleveland, they're not going to lose that football game. And Dallas gave it to them. Dallas was -3 in turnovers. And by the way, the Cowboys announced a crowd of 25,021, about 31% of capacity in the stadium. 25,000 people, because that's smart. I'll say Dallas -10.
You're a shade high. It's 9.5.
Can I just say something? This is a guessing lines tour de force. These lines are so easy to guess this week. It's unbelievable. Not that I've hit any one of them right on the button. But anyway, I'm sorry. Sorry, I had to mention that, Chris. I had to point that out.
Yeah. I mean, we're just going to have to do a little more research this week before we make our actual selection in whatever venue it is. But like I said, I come to 7 with no home field advantage. I'm going to make it 9 with, and I see 9 and 9.5. But I'll tell you, I couldn't be less impressed by the Cowboys. And they'll probably win this game. And all week we'll be hearing about how Dak Prescott's back, and the Cowboys are ready to make a run and all that other stuff. You know, but yeah, I'm watching the game. Why is Jerry Jones in the Hall of Fame?
No idea.
It was like, he should be in the Money Hall of Fame, not owning a football team Hall of Fame. You know, I mean, because the guy made a ton of money. God knows I'd swap bankrolls with him in about a nanosecond. But, he has not run a good football franchise. And I don't know. Like I said, I could not be less impressed with the Cowboys. We heard so much crap about them coming into this year, about how good they were going to be. Everybody had them penciled in as one of the serious Super Bowl contenders. And I was reading somebody, I wish I could identify it properly, but saying how Dak Prescott is kind of like the saccharin of stats. You know, he just, empty calories, is what he fills the stat page with. And it's kind of like a Matt Ryan a little bit, although Matt Ryan's had more success than Dak Prescott, I don't know. I could not be less impressed, but I'm going to open 9. They'll probably win this game. And like I said, next week we'll be hearing all week from the talking heads on the various shows on how great the Cowboys are and how they turn things around. And I ain't buying it. Let me tell you right now,
my Cowboys fan friend, my lifelong Cowboys fan friend is, by the way, he's a huge defeatist Cowboys fan. But he said to me, he goes, Gil, I don't want to hear that they're going to win the division. Because I say to him, I go, you're still going to win the division. By the way, one of these teams, the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Washington football team, or the Giants, is getting a home playoff football game, right? It's going to happen.
Yeah.
But he said to me, he goes, I don't want to hear about it. This is the worst defense in the last decade in the National Football League. Like, he really means that. He goes, pick a worse defense than this. You won't find one. It is the worst. And then he adds, and this is where he goes overboard. He goes, and I'm not watching another play for the rest of the season. I'm like, okay. All right, buddy. Well, I'll talk to you next week. Okay, easy. But that's how bad they are. That's how bad that defense is. And they have injuries. It's not all their fault, right? They have key injuries at linebacker and elsewhere. And that's,
they do.
Yeah,
they
do. That's the card. That's the hand that they were dealt. We'll come back. We got two more afternoon games in the primetime games. Week 5 in the National Football League. Guessing lines with my mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews, right here on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Gil Alexander, Chrissy Andrews is back guessing lines on a numbers game right here for week number 5. Two more afternoon games, Chris. What did you do? You get a piece of toast there? Is that what you did on the break there?
I'm going to post a picture of it. Blueberry preserves, highly underrated as a condiment or whatever you want to call it.
Really?
Put that on my toast.
Blueberry preserves. Reminds me of the Curb Your Enthusiasm episode where Larry looked over at Cheryl and he goes, huh. Apples work on a pie. So do cherries. What is it about the grape that doesn't work on a pie?
Why can't you have grape pie? I don't know. Larry.
So stupid. Larry, my job is loving you.
Preserves in general, I think, are underrated.
Preserves in general?
Yeah, better than jam or jelly. Go preserves.
What about a marmalade, Jason? Where does that fall in the tree?
I'm not sure where marmalade fits into the equation, honestly.
I just wanted to say marmalade and not marmalade.
But preserves are where to be.
Yeah, I like marmalade.
Yeah.
I'm not a jelly guy, but I like preserves or jam. But I like marmalade.
This show took a turn, didn't it?
By the way, before we get too much further, I meant to talk about this earlier. We got totally, like, twisted around on that Niners game last night. We got flooded at the end with all Philadelphia money.
Did you really?
I did. I did Patrick. Patrick came by for the interview. I told him, yeah, we need Philly. In the last hour, it was all Philly money. And I don't think from wise guys, I mean, I've seen head fakes and all that other stuff before. But this was not, wise guy money showing up. This was like the public. And I mean, I'm sure there's some sharp guys along with it, too. But I don't think this was a traditional head fake trying to build up a number. But we want to meet tonight. And now let me just say this. I might have fallen asleep during the game, and I'm glad I did.
You're glad you did. It's probably true. Wow, interesting. Interesting that money came in late on that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, big. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, they got the...
Anyway,
They ended up being right. I'm not sure that it, I think they got fortunate at the end, but still, nonetheless, it ends up being a winner for them. All right, what's next on afternoon games?
Colts and the Browns.
Oh, well, now there's an interesting game. Colts and Browns.
Yeah.
3-1 versus 3-1. Phillip Rivers for the Colts yesterday against the Bears. 16 of 29 for 190. One touchdown, no picks. He was sacked once. 8 of 19 on third downs. Again, a lot of third down opportunities, which means you're not really doing much on first and second a lot. Colts played the second half without their all-pro linebacker Darius Leonard, who left with a groin injury. But that Colts defense is the story. Phillip Rivers doesn't have to do much. That offense doesn't have to do much at all. Colts defense really good. And then there's Cleveland. We talked about Cleveland against the Cowboys. Myles Garrett, strip sack for the third straight game. Three straight games with strip sack for Myles Garrett. And the Browns held on for the 49-38 win over the Cowboys. First time they've been 3-1 since the year 2001. Wow. Cowboys got within a field goal with three straight touchdowns, followed by successful two-point conversions after trailing 41-14 in the fourth quarter. Cowboys were about to do what they did the previous week to Atlanta. And here they are. Well, if we get a touchdown and a two-point conversion, and then we get the ball back and we get a touchdown and a two-point conversion, and then we get the ball back and we get a touchdown and a two-point conversion, we're going to be right back in this game. And it actually happened. They got it to 41-38, but Odell Beckham Jr., who caught five passes for 81 yards and two touchdowns and had two carries for 73 yards and a touchdown, that touchdown on the ground was a 50-yarder on a reverse after the Cowboys had cut it from 41-14 to 41-38 with less than 4 minutes remaining, and that was pretty much the clincher, because then the Cowboys came back with Dak. He threw a pick on his career-high 58th and final attempt in that game. But Myles Garrett was facing undrafted rookie Terrence Steele. Then he was facing Brandon Knight, who's also undrafted in just his second year. And they shared the duties a day after news broke that Lael Collins, who hadn't played this year, is set to have season-ending hip surgery. Baker Mayfield, 19 of 30 for 165, two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. And Nick Chubb left the game. So D'Ernest Johnson was 13 for 95 on the ground, and Kareem Hunt, 11 for 71 with two touchdowns. They were outgained, the Browns were, by Dallas, 566 to 508. I mean, that was just ridiculous, that game. They outgained Dallas on the ground, though, did Cleveland, 307 to 85. 307. Despite losing Nick Chubb to a knee injury in the first quarter when his right leg was rolled up on by a pair of opposing linemen, engaged with each other, he limped to the locker room. Kevin Stefanski said that Chubb will have an MRI today. Jarvis Landry also had a touchdown pass, his first career one, to Odell Beckham in the first quarter, I believe it was, or at least it was in the first half. Anyway, Indianapolis at Cleveland. This is probably the toughest game to pick this slate so far. Cleveland minus 1.5, he says hesitantly.
Okay. Let me go and say this again. I think I like your number better than what I see out there. It's 2.5. I even see 1.3 with juice on the dog. I have the Colts 2 points better than the Browns on a neutral field. And I got to give the Browns a little something. So I'm thinking more like a pick 'em in this game. But I have to tell you a couple things. First of all, before the season, I did a thing for Matt Eumanns about quarterbacks and all that. And I said, this Colts team, they finally have a great 53-man roster. What a shame they don't have Andrew Luck, because I think if they did, they'd be a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
So true.
I don't know why they went after Phillip Rivers. I don't like him the least little bit. But the rest of that roster is really strong. Now go over to Cleveland. You know, what's Cleveland been missing these last couple years? Coaching, number one. Okay, looks like they may have found the right guy and getting a lot out of Baker Mayfield. And the running game is unbelievable. You know, they are really running the football, which often means you have a really good offensive line. Anyway, I think it's a tough game. I like your number a lot better than what's out there. I am going to open 2.5, but if I see it trending lower, I'm going lower. I like the Browns in this spot. I really do.
2.5 in favor of the Browns?
Of the Colts. Colts are the favorite.
So the Colts are the favorite. Wow.
Colts are the favorite, my friend. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Colts are the favorite.
All right, we're coming back. That's interesting. Guessing lines. Still got three more games to go. Coming back, a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. All right, Chris, you said the Colts are favored by 2.5?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting because Jason,
I think we got our first play, Gilly.
I think we have our – that's exactly right. I think we do. Finally, we only took most of 2 hours. We finally got one. The Colts were that against the Bears. I was wrong about that one in my first essay, too, but the Browns are better than the Bears. Can we all agree on that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think we have our first play. Might have our only play. All right, what's the last afternoon game, if my counting is correct here?
By the way, our good friend the Bear confirmed the Blueberry, very, very underrated and very strong. And the Bear looks like a guy that would know his way around a piece of toast.
Let me tell you something. The Bear is a guy I would take advice from on this. Yes.
Yeah. We're talking about toast. I'm going to go to the Bear for advice.
Are you part of the Blueberry Preserve lobby, Chrissy? This is a little strange. You keep coming back to this.
No. Maybe I can get a job. I can use another income. What the hell?
He needs to tweet out his picture of toast.
Why not?
Yeah. Tweet out a picture of that thing.
You, I'm going to tweet out a picture because I actually took one, not of the toast, but of the jelly. But anyway, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Okay, next, back to business, boys. Vikings at the Seahawks.
Vikings at the Seahawks. Vikings off the schneid. They beat the Texans. Again, they missed only one day of practice last week. Kirk Cousins, 16 of 22 for 260, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked three times. Dalvin Cook, 27 for 130 and two touchdowns. Adam Thielen was Cousins' favorite target, 8 for 114 and a touchdown. And Jefferson, again, at LSU, 4 catches for 103. One Minnesota starter, by the way, as if we didn't need more COVID news, who coach Mike Zimmer did not identify. There was a false positive COVID-19 on the Vikings from a point of contact test before the game. Had to take two more tests at the stadium before it could be cleared. The team also had three other players whose tests were inconclusive and had to retake tests, forcing them to turn in their inactive player list about 10 minutes late. The testing problems came after the Vikings had to close the facility on Tuesday and Wednesday after the Titans reported multiple positive tests for the coronavirus. The last team that they had played, including players who played in the game at US Bank Stadium last Sunday. Anyway, that's your latest in Vikings corona news. They're playing Seattle. Seattle's 4-0. Russell Wilson, yesterday, against the Dolphins. 24 of 34 for 360. Cool 360. Two touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked twice. Chris Carson, 16 for 82 touchdowns after he got Gator rolled, played in this game. Gator rolled the previous week. DK Metcalf, 4 for 106. David Moore, 3 for 95 and a touchdown. Wilson connected with Moore for 57 yards in the final seconds of the first half. We talk about the Chargers' key play against the Bucs being right at the end of the first half. So, too, was the case in this game. It looked like the Dolphins with the field goal was going to, you know, they were going to run out down a point, 10-9. But instead, Wilson to Moore for 57 yards in the final seconds of the first half to set up a touchdown that gave Seattle a 17-9 halftime lead. Seahawks headsets that went out to start the drive. The Seahawks headsets went out to start the drive, and Wilson called the plays himself on that drive. By the way, he ties Peyton Manning's record of 16 touchdown passes in the first four games of a season. Seahawks, Minnesota, it's going to be more than a touchdown. I'll say Seahawks -7.5.
That's what it is. That's exactly what my power ratings came to, is 7.5. I see 7 with some juice on the favorite. 7.5, a little juice on the dog. I see one flat 7, but I'm going to open 7.5. I think that's a good number. By the way, Vinny was in my office yesterday during that Seattle game, and I think the whole time I'm just screaming, why do I have to root against Russell Wilson every week? Why do I have to do this? You know, I mean, I think that he's so good, and I wind up rooting against him every week. And I'm checking his QBR 68.7. That's like one of his worst of the year. You know, and that's really good. I hate rooting against this guy. I really do. Meanwhile, come Sunday night, I can almost guarantee I'll be rooting for the Vikings and rooting against Russell Wilson one more time. It's torturous. Let me just tell you, it's torturous.
It is. I had the Dolphins yesterday. I felt that I even said, I go, that's the last guy I want to bet against. It's hell to bet against him, and it was hell. That was a Sunday night game, you just said? Yeah. That was a Sunday night game? Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a Sunday night game. Yes, Sunday night. Yeah.
Cool. So we're on time here. I thought we had one more. I thought we missed one. By the way, Detroit and Green Bay on byes next week. Green Bay still yet to play. They play Atlanta tonight. Remember, tonight a doubleheader, which is the Patriots and the Chiefs, the makeup game from yesterday. Chiefs favored by 10.5 now. That's a 7:05 Eastern, 4:05 Pacific start. Then staggered a little later, so this should probably start right as the second half of the New England-Kansas City game is starting, more or less. Atlanta at Green Bay, the regularly scheduled Monday night game, pushed back a little further. 8:50 Eastern start, 5:50 Pacific kickoff, with Green Bay a 6-point favorite. So Detroit and Green Bay are on byes next week. Let me just say this about Detroit, because every week there's something new to say in terms of ignominious records that get shattered here.
Yeah.
Detroit losing to New Orleans 35-29 after leading 14-0 yesterday. They're the first NFL team, the Lions, to lose 6 straight games in which it led by double digits, according to Elias. The Lions also joined the 2011 Vikings as the 2 teams in league history to lose 3 of their first 4 games after leading by at least 10 points. The Lions lost a 17-point fourth-quarter lead the opener against Chicago. Week 2, they were ahead by 11 points against Green Bay before giving up 31 straight and losing an 11th straight game. And then yesterday, Matt Patricia falls to 10-25-1 after his team collapsed again, up 14-0. Jeez. Anyway, sorry, Lions fans. I know you're not playing.
Did you hear him afterwards saying, like, well, I had a lot of pieces to pick up from, like, I'm paraphrasing, from the franchise that was in disarray when I took over? That's the biggest bunch of crap. Jim Caldwell should have never been fired.
Never.
He's 9-7 disarray.
Yeah.
9-7.
Well, what, three of his 4 years, he was 9-7, 9-7, and 11-5. And I think the other year he was 7-9, and he got fired.
Right.
This dude is 10-25-1.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
All right, let's do Monday night.
Okay. Chargers at the Saints.
Saints who beat the Lions yesterday after a short night of sleep for the Saints, coming off its first two-game losing streak in 3 years, started the game without six injured starters, including Michael Thomas. Their fullback, Michael Burton, had a false positive test for the coronavirus on Saturday, leading to another round of tests for players and staff overnight in Detroit. Remember, there was a possibility this game between the Lions and the Saints wasn't going to be played, but it was a false positive. They get on the field. They're down 14-0 after that, after those shenanigans. Breeze goes 19 of 25 for 246, two touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked twice. Alvin Kamara, 19 for 83 and a touchdown. Latavius Murray vultured two of his touchdowns for fantasy players, though. They were 10 of 14 on third down. They were 1 of 1 on fourth. And talk about a time of possession advantage, 36-46 to 23-14, Saints over the Lions. Again, they spotted Detroit a 14-0 lead, 4:37 after kickoff, 4 minutes and 37 seconds in. Then they scored 35 straight points from late in the first period to midway through the third to take control. Chargers, we talked about at the top, they lose to the Buccaneers after leading by 17 points, 24-7, and then they got Anthony Lynn fumble deep in their own territory, inside the 10, Ndamukong Suh knocking out of Joshua Kelly's hands. Herbert, though, Justin Herbert, 20 of 25 for 290. Three touchdowns, one pick. He was only sacked twice. Five carries for 14 yards. I believe five carries for 14 yards. Was that the Chargers' leading rusher? Can we check on that? That's amazing if it was. He's the second player, Herbert, with 900-plus passing yards in his first three games. Cam Newton, the only other person. And, of course, he's in because of Tyrod Taylor's getting his lung punctured by the team doctor. Is Anthony Lynn really going to put Tyrod Taylor back in as soon as he's ready to play? Because this kid is awesome. By the way, he was 2 years old when Tom Brady made his first NFL start. Widest age gap ever between two starting quarterbacks. Austin Eckler left the game late in the first quarter with a hamstring, did not return. Mike Williams didn't play with a hamstring. Brian Bulaga had a back injury. Trey Turner groin didn't play. So think about that. They got a 17-point lead with all those losses. Anyway, I'll say New Orleans -7.
Once again, I like your number a little better. But it's higher, 7.5. I'll probably open 7.5 because I'm sure they're going to bet the Saints. But I guess I'm not that impressed with the Saints. And I am highly impressed with this Herbert kid. I didn't know what to expect with this kid. There was so many different kind of cross currents of evaluation on him coming out of college. I didn't know what to think, but boy, this kid has shown me a lot. He's really good. I'm going to probably need the Chargers Monday night, and you know what? I think I'm fine with that. I think that'll be fine.
I wonder if Tua is quietly feeling the pressure in Miami. You know, because they were drafted back-to-back. Because Justin Herbert has been unbelievable. Yeah. Tua's got to be watching this, be like, oh, boy, I better be good. Miami's got to be thinking he better be good. So in the end, as we close this down here in 30 seconds, the only thing I really loved here was Cleveland. You?
Yeah. I like Cincinnati, too. And, by the way, I'm reading in the break here, a lot of guys coming back to the Eagles. So I'm going to open the Steelers a flat 7 in that. I told you I have some questions about that Steeler defense.
Okay, so you're opening the Steelers flat 7.
I like two games.
And you like Cincinnati and Cleveland. All right.
Yes, sir.
Cleveland for me. Thank you, Chrissy. Guessing lines for week 6 week 5 rather in the books. Good luck with everything. Baseball today and football from all of us at the Numbers Game and Visa, the Sports Betting Network.